Hello, this is Father Mike Walker of Father Mike's Podcast, Father Mike's Bible Study Podcast, and the Catholic Combine, the pastor of St. Cecilia Catholic Church in Beaverton, Oregon. If you would like more information about the parish or the podcast, please feel free to email me at frmikewalker@gmail.com. And now, today's podcast. The 40 days of Lent lead to Easter. And we do that, of course, in these 40 days as a remembrance of the 40 days that Jesus spent before he began his public ministry. And we know that ultimately his public ministry would lead to Easter through the cross and through the resurrection. And it also looks back into the Old Testament parallels. And you have the one that we heard in the first reading, so the temptation of Adam and Eve, and then how they gave in to that temptation. But we also have the 40 years that the Israelites were in the desert. And while they were in the desert, they were being tested, or they were being tempted as well. And they didn't fare so well, similar to Adam and Eve. And so you have a bit of a parallel, but also a contrast. Whereas Jesus begins his public ministry, and he undergoes his temptations, that he does not give in to them like they did in the past. Now, we might be a little curious to know why Jesus was tested or tempted in the first place. I mean, on one hand, you might think that, well, Jesus is the Son of God. You know, what does it mean for him to be tested or tempted? Is it even real? And in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4:15, the author explains that because Jesus was a human being, that he was tested like us in every way, but didn't sin. I think that's good for us to realize that the fullness of Jesus' humanity was present. He was tested and he was tempted, and those were real testings and they were real temptations. True, he didn't have the original sin, so he was not tested and tempted in a way that led to his downfall, because he was able to overcome those. And we, in our weakness, that we have a harder time. Nevertheless, he was fully tested and tempted. Well, looking at these temptations, I think also we can learn something. We can learn something from what Jesus was tempted to do, and also how he overcame them. Ultimately, when it comes down to it, there were two things that allow Jesus to overcome his temptations or tests. And the first was that Jesus knew that it was the will of the Father to go to the cross before the resurrection. And because he knew that that was the will of the Father, that he was not going to let anything or anyone get in front of that or get in the way of that. Also, it was because of his love for the Father that he was able to do what he did, and his love for us that he was able to do what he did. And he didn't want to do anything that would stop him from following the Father's will out of his love for the Father and his love for us. So let's look at that first temptation. The first one, it's almost a little funny because it says that 40 days and 40 nights he was in the desert and he didn't eat anything. And then afterwards, he was hungry. You know, it seems kind of obvious, right? After not eating for that long, that he would be hungry. And of course, the temptation on a human level would be food. If you've ever been in that place where you're hungry, just the smell of food can be so overpowering, you know, so overwhelming. There was one day that I forgot to eat, and it was the Spanish Mass, and all the Hispanics were preparing for a retreat the next day, so they were all cooking tamales and pozole and everything, and as they're all coming up for communion, I could smell it on them, and it was so difficult for me to be focused, because it's like all I wanted to do is eat the tamales and the pozole that they were wearing on them. But, you know, it's like you get so attuned in that, that could be such a strong thing. Well, on a human level, yes, Jesus was hungry, but he was more hungry for the will of God, for the word of God. And so as much as we have our passions or desires for the things of this world, the things of God are so much more important. And Jesus, of course, was able to see the difference in there. But I think there's another side to this. When you see what Satan was trying to do, is he was trying to derail Jesus from doing what God called him to do. And since God was calling him to go to the cross, that this was an alternative plan. Well, hey, why not just give people what they want? Just, you know, pour on them material wealth, success, and things, you know, that'll make them happy, and then they'll be loyal to you. But Jesus didn't choose to do that. He didn't choose to bribe us to win his loyalty. Rather, he went to the cross to sacrifice himself for our sake so that he could invite us to a deeper and more profound love than just merely bribing us. So the second temptation, Satan takes Jesus to the parapet. That's the highest point at the temple. And he said, oh, throw yourself down from here, and then the Father will have to save you because you're the Son of God. And this is a test so that that the Father would have to save him. You know, so it was a way of in his humanity saying, okay, Father, prove your love for me, or prove that you are with me, or prove that you will save me. Of course, Jesus doesn't fall for that. He says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. You know, that it's not about God to prove his love for us or to prove that he is God. Sometimes we can get caught up in that. I think at one time or another, maybe we've all done that. Lord, if you are real, do this. You know, either heal this person or save that person or help me to win or help me to pass the test. I mean, whatever it is, you know, we kind of get in that phase every once in a while. In our humanity, I think we just want God to prove himself and to make it evident for us that he exists or that he's real or that he's on our side. And so we might have those kind of things. You know, I think it's maybe part of our human condition that because it's hard to live by faith and it's easy to kind of go for the sensationalist. You know, if God were just doing nothing but throwing miracles our way and making it easy for us, we think that that would be what's best for us. But actually, in God's wisdom, he knows that if we are living the ordinary faith of a Catholic Christian, we are actually better off. So there's a little bit of a lesson for that, I think, there's a certain mindset, I think, looking for the sensationalistic when it comes to things of faith. There are some people that are chasing after miracles or pilgrim spots and different things like that. But really, where holiness is found is in the day-to-day. Where holiness is found is oftentimes in the ordinary. We don't need to go to these elaborate extremes. We can be comfortable knowing that if we're following the will of the Father in our lives, if we're following the Lord's plan for us in the day-to-day, then that's actually more important, that we're not putting God to the test. We're not seeking after sensationalistic miracles. But we're just living in the grace of God in the moment. And so Jesus, again, when he says, don't put the Lord your God to the test, it's a good lesson for us as people of faith also. Now, the last one is, here Satan brings Jesus to this mountain, and he has him look over all the nations of the world, and he says, if you just drop down and worship me, then I will just give these all to you. Well, we all know that this was a lie, that Satan had no authority to give Jesus anything. You know, Jesus is the true King of the universe, that Satan doesn't own the kingdoms of the world. But I think implied in that is that, well, Jesus, don't do it the hard way. Just kind of take the shortcut. Just compromise yourself. And if you do that, then maybe you can still get the same end or the same result without having to do the hard work. Well, again, Jesus realizes that God alone shall you worship. You know, that Jesus knows that the selling yourself out is never going to accomplish what God actually wants you to have. So in a similar way, it can be very tempting in our own lives to think, well, let's just sell out our faith. Let's sell out our morals and values. And let's just go along with whatever the world thinks. We'll just adopt whatever philosophy or political party or whatever popular opinion is out there. And that way it'll make our faith easy. But that's not what God calls us to. He doesn't call us to sell out so that we can achieve something or get some particular result without having to put in the hard work. That being people of faith is hard work, and it means that we have to sacrifice. And we don't want to sell out and worship the things of this world or worship anything other than God or believe or practice anything other than what he directs us to. And so once again, we can look at these three temptations that Jesus overcame is helping us to know how to overcome them as well. Ultimately, it goes down to those three things that I mentioned earlier, that it was because Jesus loved the Father and wanted to follow his will and relied on his strength that he was able to overcome these temptations. So as we begin this season of Lent, as we continue on through it, let's try to keep those things in mind as well. That first of all, that we want more than anything to follow the will of the Father in our own lives. That we realize that it's not out of duty and obligation alone, but out of our love for him. And ultimately, we don't have the strength on our own to do anything. And so we ask him to give us the strength and the help we need so that we can follow the will of the Father in our own lives and we can love him like he calls us to. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. May God bless you and be with you as you live out your faith and serve the Lord this week.